6:30. And so good to see everybody this morning. To all any of our first-time guests, I honor you. We are welcome, or we are glad that you're here, and I hope you feel welcome since you got here. And to any of our first-time guests, if you did not stop by the concierge on your way in, please stop by there on your way out. We have a little something for you to tell you. We appreciate you. Amen. We love our first-time guests. Can we give them a round of applause? Anybody visiting on your row? Come on, do better than that. Come on. Listen, just tell them we appreciate them. Amen. Go to Exodus chapter 30. I told you that, right? Verse 22, Exodus 30, verse 22. And then once we finish reading Exodus 30, 22, we're going to go over to 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. Those are going to be our foundational scriptures. We're going to tag team it. And I'm going to read about 10 verses out of Exodus. And I'm going to get us into where we're going. Amen. Exodus 30, verse 22. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Reads as follows. Moreover, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, also take yourself quality spices. Somebody say quality spices. I like that. We serve a God of quality. Come on, somebody. It what you have means something to God. Amen. If you're a child of God, he wants you to have quality. Come on. Not no run down, busted, toe up. That's not of God. Amen. If you got anything run down and busted, it's only temporary. I don't know who I'm talking to, but your hoopty is temporary. Come on, somebody. It is temporary. God wants you to have quality. Amen. For yourself, quality spices, 500 shekels of liquid myrrh, half as much sweet-smelling cinnamon, 250 shekels of sweet-smelling cane, 500 shekels of cassia according to the shekel of the sanctuary, and some Hennessy. I'm sorry. That's my good Lord. I'm sorry, y'all. But get my glasses, boy. Lord have mercy. I thought I was reading the menu at the. Yeah, amen. Okay, I'm sorry. And a hen of oil. All right. And a hen of oil. And you shall make from these a holy anointing oil, an anointment compound according to the art of the perfumer. It shall be a holy anointing oil. With it you shall anoint the tabernacle of meeting and the ark of the testimony, the tabernacle and all its utensils, the lampstand and its utensils, and the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offerings with all its utensils, and the laver of its base. You shall consecrate them that they may be most holy. Watch this. Whatever touches them must be holy. And you shall anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them that they may minister to me as priests. And you shall speak to the children of Israel, saying, this shall be a holy anointing. Everybody say anointing. Everybody say anointing. This shall be a holy anointing oil to me throughout the generations. It shall not be poured on a man's flesh, nor shall you make any other like it according to its composition. It is holy, and it should be holy to you. Go over to 1 John. If we could put up 1 John chapter 2. Reads as following. But you have an anointing. Somebody say, I'm anointed. But you have an anointing from the Holy One. Father, we thank you for these words this morning. God, we ask that you strengthen the walls of your people, their minds, their spirit. Father, let us begin to understand the power of the anointing that is on this church and on your people this morning. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to use a subject this morning to get us where we're going called the groundbreaking anointing. The groundbreaking anointing. Everybody say the groundbreaking anointing. As many of you know who's been here, we've talked about what this year is. We talked about, hopefully you haven't forgotten already, that what God spoke to us about what this year is going to be. God told us on December 31st, that this was going to be a groundbreaking year. We talked about how this was going to be innovative, pioneering, going to levels you have not seen. Not just levels, but one of the words God used to me was dimensions, meaning places your family has not seen, your mother and your father have not been. You are going to do things that are going to blow your mind. We spent that whole month of January working that foundation. Now, what I need you to understand, and this is why I pray you have not begun to drift already. Because you know how some Christians are. We out of January, come on, somebody. And we start fading back to that old man. We get everything right in the first few weeks. We get off that 21-day fast. You got to fight to maintain this year. You got to make sure you refuse to go back to normalcy, that you don't expect anything less than God's quality in your life. That whatever the hell you went through in 2019, don't expect it. Don't settle for it. You make sure that you maintain that this is going to be the greatest year of your life. I'm glad I got five people clapping in this church right now. But you've got to make sure that you don't go back. Come on. Don't refuse to just settle in and just go through the motions and get ready to say it's just another year. The devil is a lie. This is going to be a groundbreaking year. No matter, listen, you are locked in it. You just got to maintain and know. I told you it's like a wave for us. When we say it's the theme of the year, it's not like that's, I told you, it's not the only thing God's going to do, but it is the wave that he has for us, meaning that's what God wants to do in this church. He wants it to be a groundbreaking year for your life. And when a wave, you know, I don't know if you know anything about surfing, because I don't, amen, I'm just going to pretend like I do right now, but when you surf, you got to catch the wave. How many know you can miss a wave? You're waiting on it. You get ready to get on it. You if you don't ride it, you can miss it. And what happens if we just sit there, you can miss what God is trying to get you to be on this year. And you cannot miss your wave this year. This is a groundbreaking year. And so you got to make sure that in every area of your life that you maintain. Tell your neighbor, you got to maintain. And so as we understand it's a groundbreaking year, here's what we need to, you know, really dig in and understand. As we push forward in this year, God wanted me to share with us to understand it's just not a groundbreaking year, but there is an anointing on us for the groundbreaking year. And that's significant, because when we begin to understand what the anointing of God is, it changes the game. And this is where I believe the church is a little bit weak at, is understanding the anointings of God. And what that means is when we talk about anointing, That means there is something on your life. That means that, you know, it's not that this is just what God's doing. When he spoke that to this church and this body, there was a supernatural move of the Holy Spirit where something came on us that will allow us to function at a level and do things we normally would not be able to do. Got a long way to go. Stay with me. And what I need every person to understand, first and foremost, I don't know if you know this, everybody in here is anointed. Everybody. Somebody say, I'm anointed. First and foremost, I don't care how seasoned you are. I don't care how young you are. Every person that is a child of God, first and foremost, you have an anointing on your life. First John, put it back up there, verse 2, verse in 20. Let me lay this foundation, because we've got to begin. If you catch this and understand the anointing that I'm going to be preaching about for the next few weeks here, is teaching on anointings. Because what you have to understand, first and foremost, I don't care if you just got out of jail last week. I don't care if you just got delivered from a life of addiction. I need you to understand, watch what the Bible says, you have an anointing from the Holy One. That Bible's talking to every person that can look at it right now. It means you, somebody say me. That means you have an anointing on your life. First of all, I can push it. I need every person to get it. That when the Holy Spirit came on you, there are several levels up to the anointing. There's levels to this thing, man. There are several different dynamics of the anointing. First and foremost, when you get saved and give your life to Christ, you have the anointing of God on your life. First and foremost, I don't care what your backdrop is, your background, who you are, who you slept with, who your mama was, how much is in your bank account, how much is not in your bank account. You are anointed. Not just your pastor. Come on, somebody. Not just elders, deacons, prophets. Every person in here is anointed, and that's the first thing I got to get you to get. I don't care what you know. If you don't know one scripture this morning, but you gave your life to Christ, I need you to know you're anointed. Somebody say, I'm anointed. You got to understand that, and this is what the Lord told me, take your time here because I need people to understand that they have the oil of God on their life. Because most people just think that the person with the microphone is anointed. Now, granted, you want them to be anointed. But you also need to know you're anointed. You need to know you got something on your life that is a game changer, because that's what the anointing is. It's a game changer. The anointing, watch this. The anointing is when something is, it really, instead of breaking all the Hebrew and Greek down, let me just lay it to you. It means that there's something smeared on you. There means there's something that you're wrapped in. The anointing, when it comes on you, watch this, it gives you the ability to do things that you normally could not do. Stay with me, a long way to go. And when you do it, watch this, there is an anointing that makes it look easy. It makes it graceful. It gives you the power to do something that you typically could not do. And when it comes on your life, and everybody needs to understand this, first and foremost, we all have anointings, but we also all have different anointings on our life. You have an anointing as a Christian because when the anointing comes, first and foremost, there's an anointing for you to break every yoke. Anointings destroy the yoke of the enemy. Anointings destroy the gates of hell. But there's also several different anointings. There's specific anointings. When you get saved, there's an anointing that comes on you that's different from your neighbor. Meaning, when the anointing of God comes on you, it is tailor-made for the work God has for you. Stay with me. I need you to catch this before we get happy. When you get saved, there's an anointing that comes on you that can deal with the devil. But then, and that's what all Christians got that. But then there's also an anointing on you that is specific for a work that God has called you to do. And that's where that's the angle we're going this morning, is that there's an oil, there is a spiritual something that God has smeared on your life, that he has called you to do something, and when you step into it, watch this, you will do it with power, you will do it with grace, you will do it with ease, and when people see it, it looks easy to them. Stay with me. And not only do you have an anointing that is on every Christian, but every person in here has an anointing for what God has purposed you to do. God, somebody says levels to this thing. And so there's different types of anointings on your life. Let me help you here. Let me, for example, like myself, I have different anointings on my life. I have an anointing, obviously, to hold this mic and to preach. And not everybody in here has that anointing. And when I gave my life to Christ, that anointing came on me, and it's part of who I am. Let me help you. Let me teach you. Give me 1 Samuel 16. I got to teach this. We'll get happy in a minute. But I got to get you to understand who you are right now. 1 Samuel 16:1. Let me show you how this works. Now, the Lord says to Samuel, watch this. How long will you mourn for Saul? Seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel. Stay with me. Watch what he says. Fill your horn with oil. We're talking about anointing. He says, because really, when you talk about the anointing, it's almost an invisible oil on your life. He says, fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for me. What did he provide for himself? A king. Everybody say a king. He says, I provided for myself a king. Stay with me. He says, this king, he says, I already have someone who's a king. And he says, I provided for myself a king. So he said, I need you to take this oil, and there's somebody who I have called for a work of a king. But I need you to take this oil and go find this person. Give me verse 13. Fast forward to verse 13. And stay with me because there's a work to do. And then watch this. He takes the oil because God has already chosen him for the work of a king. And then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Stay with me. So God said there's a work, there's a gift called king. He says, but what happened is now I need him to be anointed let the oil come on his life, so when he steps into the role of a king, he can do it with power and he can do it with grace. Stay with me. But watch this. The oil could, whoever this oil hit, it was ordained for it to be a king. This wasn't any type of oil. It was an oil fit for a king. Meaning that God said the oil was for a specific work. Everybody wasn't called to be a king. So whoever the oil hit, that oil was specific for a king. And so what I'm telling you today, so it is with us, that when God anoints you, you may not be anointed for a king, but there are some anointings on your life right now. Some of us are anointed to sing right here. Some of us are anointed to preach and to teach. Some of us are anointed to be lawyers. Some of us are anointed to be doctors. Some of us, we have an anointing from heaven to do the work of God. And when you step into it, that anointing is to cause you to be able to do the work of God. Watch this. Without stressing all the time. Come on. To do it with power. To do it where people look and they see it. And watch this. But they're also drawn to it. Because whatever the anointing does, watch this, the anointing does a few things. It draws people. Why does it draw people? Because it's drawing them to the gift that God has put in you. Okay, stay with me, stay with me. I got this. We're gonna get there. Because here it is. You've got to be careful, because remember, David was already called to be a king, but he didn't have the oil to be a king yet. So that tells me you can have something and be it, but you need the oil to make it graceful. Let me help you. Let me translate. That means you can have a gift and not have an anointing for the gift. Whatever your gift is, does not mean you have the anointing. It's dangerous right here. I'm going to have the heavy lift this morning. I can feel it. And what happens is God gives you the anointing to draw people to you. But the reason he's drawing them to you is not really to you, it's to the anointing. Because the anointing is to destroy the yoke of the enemy. So when he gives you an anointing and you step in the business world, God help me, that's why they go elevate you, because not of you, but the anointing that's on your life. And when you step into a boardroom, your anointing will change the culture for God. When you step into the realms of the world, God says, I want the anointing on my people, because the anointing would destroy the enemy and everything he's doing out in the world. The problem with us, though, watch this, is the church cannot tell the difference between the gift and the anointing sometimes. We get drawn to the gift. But you never should be drawn to the gift. You should be drawn to the anointing. God help me. Because what happens is, and the church, be honest with you, they can't tell the difference between when there's an anointing and when there's a gift. You never want the gift without the anointing. And the problem is, the gift can actually be a gift without the anointing. But in reality, it's not a gift if it does not have an anointing. God help me. Stay with me. See, here it is right here. As you begin to grow in God, you can tell anointing. You can tell when somebody's anointed. You can sense it. See, let me tell you something. Sana is anointed to sing worship. She has a gift. And at some point of her singing, the anointing comes on her life. And that anointing begins to change the atmosphere. Watch this, for God. She has a gift. And at some point, the anointing begins to activate on her life. And when she's singing and worshiping for God, it comes off her life into the atmosphere and begins to break yokes. Stay with me. How many of you know that she has a gift, and that same gift is the gift that Beyonce has? Okay. The beehive about to go crazy. But stay with me, because I will take Sana over Beyonce any day. Some of y'all looking like he lost his mind. They like, I love you, Sana, but uh-uh. Here's the difference. She has a gift, but she does not have the anointing.
And people get drawn to gift. And God says, I don't want you drawn to gift. I want you drawn to the anointing that comes upon them. Because whatever Beyonce does, it cannot heal my soul. When Beyonce sings, it cannot drive the devil off my life. It may tickle my flesh, but it cannot deliver me. But when Sana opens her mouth, heaven moves on the anointing. The angels come down, and it begins to change my life because of the oil on her gift. And the church has not been able to distinguish between a gift without the anointing. And the problem is you have preachers who can preach with their gift, but they have no anointing on their life. And the church will fill places up, and there's no anointing, but there is a gift.
Ah, that's good, that's good.
And church, what you got to begin to understand, God has given each and every one of us an anointing. And that's why you got to be careful with your heart when God begins to raise you up in your anointing. Because when you see people drawn to you, and they begin to pat you on the back, you got to make sure you realize it's not even you. It's the anointing on your life. It's the oil that God says, I want this to look easy to everybody. I want them drawn to it. Because when my name is lifted up, I will draw all men. And when he's drawn to the anointing, it's to change their life. A barber and you cut hair, you can have an oil on your life, and while you're cutting hair is graceful and you're talking to people and their lives begin to change. It's just not preaching and teaching. It's every, somebody say, I got an anointing on me. And we've got to understand there's levels. Somebody say, there's levels to this thing. And you've got to understand, we've got to begin to understand, everybody has it. Everybody has the anointing. And here's the thing you understand about the anointing. You see, the problem is the gift is always there. Always there. The Bible says giftings and callings are without repentance. Your gift is always ready in motion. Stay with me. But the anointing comes and goes. It's yours, but it's not always activated. God help me. This is a problem right here. Stay with me. The anointing comes and goes. God's presence and his gift in your life is always permanent. The anointing is specific to you, but it's not always activated. At a certain point when I started preaching, which I'm at there now, it doesn't take long, as you get seated, you begin to understand, I felt God shift me. At some point when I started here just a few moments ago, my anointing hadn't kicked in yet. That was just man reading scripture. But when I shift it, I can feel a shift in my spirit and how I react and how I respond. And I feel when people say, my help, I feel my help. That means I felt the anointing kick in and begin to activate. God help me. But how many know when I'm done preaching and I go home and I sit on my couch, come on somebody, and I'm watching ESPN, my anointing is not activated. It comes and goes as the Holy Spirit sees fit. And the Holy Spirit understands when you move in your gift, he activates you if he chooses to. God help me. Somebody says levels to this thing. Stay with me, stay with me. We see this because it's important that we begin to understand this anointing. Because when you understand the anointing, God gives, somebody say, I'm anointed. Every person in here has a common anointing for a Christian, and then you have a specific anointing tailor-made to your life. Every person in here needs to understand you are anointed. And what you have to understand is that anointing can come and go. It lifts and it comes back. And what happens is we've got to understand that sometimes you're anointed, you got to real, and the problem is you should be able to grow to a point in your life when you sense that the anointing has lifted. You should sense when it's not there. I walk out in this sanctuary so many times and I tell them on the front row, I say, there's no anointing in the church. I say it a multitude of times. And I come up and I shift the atmosphere. For whatever reason, there's times that it happens. And you can feel it as you mature in God. You can sense when you walk into it and you can sense when it's not there. And what you have to understand is because the anointing comes and it goes. But gifts are always there. Every person has a gift, but God says, I have an anointing that I need you to walk in. Because when you walk in that anointing, what happens is you're able to do whatever that gift is in you easily. Watch this. Banks are drawn to you. You looking for a loan, a bank is looking for you when you have the anointing. Because God says, I called you for a work. Now I got to put something on you. And when it's activated and you walk in it, and that's why some people are so good at business. They start talking. We're scratching our head, but they can do this because there's an anointing on their life to talk this way, walk this way, and understand things that some people cannot understand. And that's on every person's life. And here's why it's significant. Because it's almost like, you know, anybody ever heard of WD-40? Oh, y'all use it at your house. I can tell. Everybody like, yeah, got them squeaky doors. And sometimes it's not just squeaks, but when something is stuffed and it's rough, you put some WD-40 on that bad boy. And now it's just open smooth. And that's what the anointing is. It's WD-40 on your life. Everything is smooth. It's not struggling with anything. It's just easy to open a door and walk in. Why am I struggling with a door when I got the WD of heaven on my life? God says, just pull the door open and walk in it. That's why the anointing is so important. You have to have the anointing. And what we need to understand is we have a groundbreaking anointing on our life. God said, this is what they need to get. And we got to make sure we didn't miss this, is that not only is it a groundbreaking year, but there is a special anointing on all of us. Everybody say all of us. To walk in this groundbreaking season of God. And God said, in order for them to walk in this groundbreaking year, they've got to understand more about the anointing. Because it came on us. There's some individually, there's a common one, and then there's a corporate one where God says, I'm anointing everybody for something. And God has blown on this church for us to begin to break ground on everything, to break records, to be innovative, to go where we've never gone before, not to struggle to get their doors to open, promotions to come, places to come and give us stuff. This is the year, and there is an anointing on our lives for it. And what you must understand is that every anointing has an enemy. Yeah, okay. Watch this right here. I like this right here. Give me Acts 10:38. Give me Acts 10:38. We're going to get there. Y'all all right so far? Right there. We're going to shout in a minute. Watch this. It says, how God anointed. Look at this. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Stay with me. He was anointed. Now you notice his name is Jesus Christ. Everybody, I don't know if you knew your Savior's Jesus Christ. Amen. Christ simply means anointed one. That's all Christ means. Anointed or anointed one. So it means Jesus, the anointed one. That's all Christ means. That's not his nickname. That's not his last name. Come on, somebody. People like, fill out your last name, Jesus Christ. No, it means the anointed one. And they called him the anointed one, just like they called John the Baptist. That's not his last name. He always went around talking about what? Being baptized. So they started calling him John the Baptist. Every sermon was about being baptized, baptized, baptized. So that's why he baptized Jesus. He's John the Baptist. Jesus, the anointed one, was always talking about the anointing. He was anointed, and when he preached, he would talk about the anointing, and he became Jesus Christ, the anointed one. God help me. And so when you see this right here, the Bible says we understand he was anointed. Now go over to, put the other scripture up for me. Give me 1 John 2:18. Because what you got to understand, with your anointing, you have an enemy. Watch what it says. Little children, it is the last hour. As you have heard that the Antichrist. Let's just get there. We just learned that Christ means the anointed one. He's not anti-Jesus, he's anti-anointing. Okay, y'all gonna get it in a minute. He's not anti-Jesus, he's anti the anointing on his life. So when we talk about this Antichrist that we always talk about, that means somebody who's anti the anointing. And everybody in here, I just told you that you are anointed. And you've got to understand that when you are anointing, not only do you draw people, stay with me, not only do you draw doors open, but you draw the Antichrist. Because the Antichrist cannot stand the anointing. And the Antichrist, he's anti the anointing. Come on, somebody. He's anti the anointing that's on your life. And so what happens is the devil will try to rise up in this year to cause you to strip and take away your anointing. And you got to understand, that's why the Bible says that Jesus went around healing all those who were oppressed. He says, I'm anointed to destroy yokes, because the anointing on your life will destroy everything that the enemy wants to do. That's why he's the Antichrist. He's anti the anointing. And that's why when you walk into a job, he doesn't want you to go in there with your mind right. That's why we talk about getting your mind right. You got to go in knowing who you are, because if your mind ain't right, you're not going to know you're anointed. He's not anti-Jesus, he's anti the anointed one. And if you don't know, you also are the anointed one. Come on, and that means that the enemy's going to try to rise up in 2020, but if you can maintain and understand your anointing destroys the yoke. That's why he don't want you to get the promotion in corporate America, because if you step into corporate America and you walk in your anointing, everybody in there be worshiping God. They'll fool around and put a prayer hour up in there, and you become the anointing that breaks the yoke, but he's the Antichrist. He's anti the anointed one, and God said, that's why I want to lift you up so you can go into places and destroy the yoke. God, help me. Somebody say, I'm anointed. Be careful, because when you're anointed, you got to understand that the enemy does not like you. Okay, stay with me, stay with me. See, that's why, what's the guy's name? Kanye West. One of the things the devil hates the most is when people, secular singers, cross over. Because when they start singing songs like, you're my Chick-fil-A, Kanye West, if you don't know what I'm talking about, versus all that other stuff, and he shifts and gives his life to Christ, now you got anointing going over the airways. Because now, when he gave his life to Christ, there's an oil on it, God help me. And we know what his gift is. And now when he starts worshiping, come on somebody, and they start playing it, people who go to Colosseums to spectate get caught up in the anointing.
Y'all ain't saying that to me.
They came to spectate, but they don't realize he got an oil on his life. God help me. He's always had the gift, but he didn't have the oil until he gave his life to Christ. And now when he starts lifting up the name of Jesus, now when you come to a stadium, you came to spectate, you leave with tears in your eyes. Talking about what happened, but you end up giving your life to Christ. Not because of the man, but the oil that was on his life. Not because his gift, but because the oil that used his gift to do what it does. We got to understand. Somebody say, I'm anointed. Come on, tell your neighbor, I'm anointed. Here it is. Because when you walk in your anointing, let me tell you something. The devil hates when you walk in your anointing. He does not care about gift. We got to get past gift. Everybody has a gift, but your gift is no good without the anointing. It is literally, I'm trying to push past this. There is literally, your gift is no good if you don't walk in your anointing. See, the anointing, I got to push it. The anointing just gives you the power to do what you could not do. Church, I'm holding a mic, and I couldn't even go into an interview room over 12, 13, 14 years ago and open my mouth to three people on a board without shaking. And now, I don't care about it. I'm looking for thousands to preach to now. Without the anointing, I could not talk in an interview. But now when the anointing comes on, put me in front of thousands, and I can say and do whatever God wants me to do. It powers me in an area where I had no power. God help me. And this is why you got to realize and never get big-headed, because if God removes that anointing, you will be back down to nothing. And that's why you got to stay humble with the anointing. Don't get your head lifted up. When God draws people to the anointing, you got to separate yourself from your anointing and thank God that he chose to use you, versus being arrogant and pompous and lifting up your name and realize you're just nothing but a wretched man who God poured oil on their life, and people are drawn to you. This is the problem with people. We forget we're nothing without the anointing. We're nothing without it. That's why the Bible says, oh God, that's why the Bible said we read earlier. He says, I've rejected Saul. Saul, that oil we read on David used to be on Saul. God says, I rejected Saul. Meaning I took the oil off his life. Meaning that anointing that can come and go left and it never came back one day. But he was still walking in the office of a king with his gift. For years he stayed king. Even though David had the anointing, he stayed with the gift. And you have people who are functioning with the gift and no anointing, and people cannot tell it, and they will not have their life changed. It'll be a seminar. It'll be a feel-good sermon. But I need something better than feel-good, church. I need to know that when the anointing and the word goes forth, it changes my soul. It pierces me. I can read a book for seminar. I can read a three-point poem to get some direction. But I need the anointing when I come to church. I need devils to tremble when I walk in the building. I need people to realize that demons are upset and afraid when I walk into my house of worship. Every generational devil says, let them go, because they're not going to a seminar. There's an anointing up in there. Somebody shout hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, there's an anointing in here. Okay. I got to get there. Somebody say, got to understand the anointing. Let me work this. Let me go to Exodus. Let me help us out. A couple of things on the anointing. We're gonna stay here for a few weeks. We'll just lay a little bit of groundwork. Because it's imperative that you know that not only is it a groundbreaking year, but God smeared something on our spirits. It's smeared on us. There are things we're gonna look up and be like, how did that just happen? How did when we were fasting? And things were happening. Yes, it's the fast. Absolutely. But we also have something smeared on our lives. You're going to walk into things. You're going to look up like, I've never seen that before. God help me. We were just talking this morning. And I'll just use this little thing. I don't know if it makes sense, but it might make sense. I couldn't understand something. This year I started doing these little posts. They told me, you got to start talking about stuff. Amber and Deacon Davis, like, Pastor, in 2020, please put videos out. Just say something to the people. Because I don't like social media. So I put stuff out. And so I put something out Friday because I just get fired up. Now I just say it. But you got to be careful because I'll say what I feel. I'm like, I'm not that censored guy. You understand? If I say it, it's just going to say it. Because I got something to say about the impeachment next week. Got to be careful, but I'm going to say it. I don't care. But watch this. Put something out, and then Amber sent me a text this morning and said, Pastor, your video went 30,000 people viewed it. I was like, what? Just stay with me. And I just thought about it walking out here right now. We were talking this morning. I said, how does that happen? And somebody was like, you got it. They said something about just it happens, whatever. And the more I think about it, that's just what God's going to do. Stuff you do, you'd be like, how did that happen? That's exactly what I said to her this morning. How did 30,000? I just thought maybe 400 people in the church might check it out. She said, no, it just went. And church, let that be a lesson to all of us. You're going to have a lot of, how did that happen this year? You're going to put something not expecting, but when it's groundbreaking, God's going to keep it moving and God's going to keep building you. You're going to look back and be like, how did we qualify for that house this year? I thought our credit wasn't right. How did we qualify for that? How did that get paid off? We didn't, because it's groundbreaking and the anointing will take over stuff and things will happen that you don't expect happen. You'll look up and be like, what in the world? It's because when God gets something, he can take it where he wants to take it and do what he wants to do with it. And pretty much this happened. God, I feel like preaching almost. This happened while we were asleep. And when I woke up, she said, hey, this thing went viral. And I came to tell somebody, you'll have an overnight moments like that. When you wake up and say, last night it was one way, but because the oil's on your life, it'll be another way the next morning. And I came to tell somebody, that's what happens when the oil is on our life. Groundbreaking moments, unexpected moments, and it'll come easy. Somebody say it's going to come easy. Watch this. Sit down. Y'all making me nervous. Sit down. Watch this. Let me help you with the, let me teach you about, there's levels to this anointing. So here it is. Give me Exodus. Watch this. Exodus, let me teach you something. So in Exodus chapter 30, we're reading where God tells Moses, Exodus 30, if you could put that up there, verse 22. I need you to catch this. Give me verse 25. Give me verse 25. Watch this. Here's something you got to learn about the anointing. The anointing on your life, that thing that when it comes on you, is a game changer. When it comes, you understand, when it comes, you're dangerous. I'm trying to tell you. When it comes, you're dangerous. It's not just the Holy Spirit. Yes, the Holy Spirit is in you, but when that anointing is activated for the specific thing that God has called you to do, you become almost on steroids. You become, it's almost like an injection hits you. And you can literally experience a realm that will blow your mind. And what we must understand about this anointing, and this is where I've been giving teaches on the anointing, is watch what it says. He tells Moses, and you shall make from these a holy anointing. Watch this. Back it up to verse 22. Let me lay the foundation. Let me work this thing. So God speaks to Moses. You got to catch this before I get to my first point. Moreover, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, verse 23. He tells him, also take for yourselves. He's making the anointing. He says, take for yourselves quality spices, 500 shekels of liquid myrrh, half as much as sweet-smelling cinnamon, 250 shekels of sweet-smelling cane. Verse 24. He tells him 500 shekels of cassia according to the shekels of the sanctuary and a hin of olive. That hin is just 6 quarts. I mean 6 quarts of oil. And then he says, okay, Moses, gather it. Now watch verse 25 because it gives us our first understanding of the oil. And you shall make from these a holy anointing, a holy oil, and an ointment compound. Watch what it says, according to the art of the performer or the perfumer. Stay with me. Moses, he's telling him something that we first must understand here. And it brings us to literally my first point is you got to understand man cannot create your anointing. Watch what he told Moses. He said, listen, you can gather it. He says, but it's really what it says according to the art of the perfumer. But really what Moses had to do was he had to take it to the perfumer. God. He says, you can gather it, but you can't create your own anointing. He says, and this is what we must understand, is that every person who's anointed, you cannot get your anointing from a man. Stay with me. This is imperative right here. Every anointing that we talk about are specific. He says, Moses, you get all these ingredients according to the perfumer, and the original translation in the Hebrew is he had to take it to him and he had to make it. And he gave it to Moses, and Moses applied it. But Moses could not create the anointing. And this is what we all must understand. Man cannot create an anointing. Okay. Let me tell you why. This is going to hurt some feelings, but it's going to bless half of us. Watch this right here. This is imperative. Everybody say imperative. This is imperative because you have to understand man cannot give you an anointing. You cannot say, God, I want that anointing, and somebody cannot lay their hands on you and that a specific anointing come on your life. Nobody can give you a specific, it's the perfumer who has to create it and give it to you. And the perfumer is the Holy Spirit, in the only one who can give you the anointing. Okay. How does this help us? Let me take you to this right here. Why is this significant? It's significant in many ways because we've got to understand, I've seen many people say, Pastor, I'm called to preach. And watch what happens, and they bring me a paper from a church or an online place. And that's fine, but that does not validate you. Because paper cannot give you an anointing from heaven. I don't care if you sit in a class for 5 years. A class does not give you an anointing. God, help me. If you cannot get an anointing from something, from sitting under somebody, the anointing has to come from the Holy Spirit, the perfumer. Oh, it got quiet. See how I lost everybody? Everybody was happy for a minute. That means even if you go get a business degree, you can do business. But that does not mean you're anointed to do business. Okay, I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you. And it is important that we begin to walk in the anointing that God has given us. It's okay to venture out, but you got to know that, listen, I may not be anointed to do something, and it's imperative that you understand that. Here's why, because there's times when man will push you into something that man thinks you should be able to do, but man cannot tell you what God has called you to do. He may be able to confirm it, but it better have been the Holy Ghost that told you and showed you and led you for you to understand that this is my anointing on my life. God, help me right here. I don't care how many singing classes you take. I don't care how many vocals you get. Come on, somebody. If you don't have an anointing to worship, you can sing a joyful noise unto the Lord all you want to. But if you don't have an anointing on your life, you don't have that thing that can break yokes. It may sound good, but it may not be anointed. And you've got to understand the anointing only comes from the perfumer, who is the Holy Ghost. Because just because you have a desire does not mean you have an anointing. Many people have a desire, watch this, because you're drawn to anointings. And if I'm drawn to it, you've got to understand I'm drawn to it for a reason, not necessarily to become it. And we have got to understand, and I'll get to this at the end, if not next week, God will lead you to your anointing. I'll get to that later. But it's imperative, because what I've seen people do is man can miss your anointing. And if somebody sends you out into an anointing that you don't have, it can kill you. And what you also cannot wait on is you cannot wait for man to validate you. Because if man has a problem on the inside with insecurity, and you have the same anointing, they may hold you back when God says, I've anointed you to go forward. And if I'm waiting on his validation, I may miss my season for my anointing. And so you cannot always wait on man's approval for God's anointing on your life. God says, when I've anointed you, I will raise you up. And when it's time for that anointing to go, nothing can hold you back if you don't allow it. God will move things in order to get you in your anointing. See, if we're always waiting on man and we're always waiting on a certificate, some of us are never walking our anointing. Listen, when God says your oil is ready to go, then you got to walk in your anointing. He'll push you in your anointing. You'll dream about your anointing. You won't be able to sleep without your anointing. You will begin to see visions about it, because God is saying, I'm stirring you in your season. Church, listen. Many of you know my story. I got kicked out of our church 12 years ago. Got kicked out of our church because I went to my pastor and I said, hey, I feel like I'm called to pastor. I've been there for 11 years. He said, get your stuff and go. I was getting ready to teach a Bible class. He said, I need you to get your stuff and raise up. And what happened was, and me and God wrestled with this, like, why did it happen? Go away. It hurt. It was painful, all those things. And God began to show me so much. But if I would have sat there, because I even told him in that meeting, I said, listen, if you don't think I'm called, I poured my heart out. I said, just tell me right now. I'll stay. He said, I cannot answer that, but I need you to go. He said, I cannot have that anointing and this anointing in the house. And I heard myself say, if you tell me not to go, I'll stay, because I was submitted. And God began to reveal to me, if God would allow that to happen, my mindset was, if you tell me to stay, I'll stay. And because he had been wounded in past by people hurting and dividing the church who had an anointing that was powerful, he began to have an insecurity. So even though my anointing and God began to show me things, and I went and I did it the right way, and I said, Pastor, what do you think? I'm not about to do it. I'm not leaving. I just want to know you. Because, listen, anointing recognizes anointing. God, help me. Anointing recognizes anointing. And there you can recognize the same anointing you have. And I know he recognized. I came and I said, listen, because there's an order to doing things. I never came and said, I'm leaving. I came and I said, listen, this is, you're my shepherd. Tell me what we do. And because he had an inferiority, he would have held me back, God said. He would have been like, no, stay here, stay here, stay here. I would have stayed there waiting on man to validate me. But God said, listen, I had to put you through the hurt and the pain in order to get you out in your anointing. He had to break your heart for your anointing to flourish in your life. I was waiting on man's validation. He said, you don't need his validation. The oil is on your life, not with him or without him. It's because of the perfumer who put it on your life. Somebody shout hallelujah. Touch your neighbor, say, I'm anointed. Watch this, watch this. And it's important that you understand, man can confirm, but he cannot validate. And God began to show me, it's important that we understand, people can lay hands, they can set you into a thing, but they cannot give you the anointing for the thing. They cannot give you the anointing for the thing on your life. That comes from the perfumer. Church, that's why you say, I don't have class. I haven't been able to do this. I didn't take the education. I didn't do all that. God never said that for the oil. You don't need anything to walk in your anointing. Now, and I'm not saying that you can't go get some learning. I didn't say that. You can go get some learning to help you in your anointing. But you don't have to wait on that. Stay with me. Because when the anointing comes on you and you walk in your area of that gift, you'll be able to see things, understand things, walk in things, have ideas that no paper can give you. And you have to trust that anointing and stop waiting on somebody to always validate you when you know it's that time. Because there are too many people who have insecurities. There's too many people who will not let you go, and they'll try to hold you. But baby, how many know I ain't got time to be held back waiting on somebody? I've lived too long. Life is too short. If you don't validate me and the Holy Spirit told me I'm anointed to do this or that, I got to get to moving, baby. Either you're with me, either you bless me, you celebrate me, but I'm not going to have you tolerate me, have me stand around here anointed and cannot walk in what God has called me to do. Somebody say, I'm anointed. So here's what you got to catch. You got to catch this. I got to push. I got a few more to give you. First thing you must understand is that man cannot create or give you an anointing. He cannot do it. It's something that has to come from the Holy Spirit. He will confirm it. Watch this right here. Let me give you number two. Here it is. Give me verse 30. Watch this. Give me Exodus 30 and verse 30. Here it is. You got to also understand, the anointing is specific to a person. Stay with me. There's levels to this thing. There's a general anointing that we all have as believers. There's that corporate anointing that we all have in the groundbreaking year. And we talked about, then there's that specific anointing we all have. Now let me work this a little bit, because you've got to understand how specific that anointing is. And you've got to understand, it is dangerous to try to walk, as we said a moment ago, in someone else's anointing. Anointings are literally tailor-made. I know we touched on earlier, but we got to dig in it right here. It is dangerous. Let me watch this right here. You got to catch this. In this whole thing, God, what is happening here? He's telling him how to make the anointing. And watch what he says, and you shall anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them that they may minister to me. Watch what he says to him. He tells him, give me verse 31, verse 31. He says, and you shall speak to children. Oh, back up to verse 26. Let me show it here. Back up to verse 26, verse 26, 29. Catch this right here. 26, thank you. He says, once the oil is made, this is what he tells Moses. With it you shall anoint the tabernacle of the meeting. Stay with me, church. The tabernacle in the Old Testament was the place where God would dwell. He told him, if you read chapters before, he told Moses, he said, listen, make sure, God was repetitive. He said, make sure when you build this tabernacle, he says, make sure that you build it exactly like I told you. He told him this three times. In a span of just a few chapters in the Bible, he says, Moses, I'm going to have you build me a tabernacle of meetings. And watch what he says, church. God, this is good. He says, when you build it exactly to the way I'm telling you right now. He said, do not miss one detail. It better be exactly like I told you. And so he says, I want you to make this anointing oil. And he says, once you make the anointing oil, watch what he says, then I want you to anoint the tabernacle. God help me. So the whole purpose here of making the anointing oil was to anoint the tabernacle, to anoint the entire church. Oh, I feel something right here. Okay, I'm going to try. I don't know if y'all can handle this. It's going to take you deep for a minute. It's not even in my notes. Watch this right here. He told him, he says, listen, first and foremost, I want you to build this tabernacle exactly to how I told you. Here's why. Watch this. The reason he told him to build it exactly, somebody say exactly. Because the tabernacle he was building was a replica to the tabernacle in heaven. God, I'm going to go somewhere that I'm not sure I was ready to go. Stay with me. The reason why he told Moses, don't miss one detail in how I'm building this. He said three times, exactly the way I'm telling you. And once it's built, take this oil and anoint the entire place. And we read where it says, and everything it touches makes it holy. And how many know that everything in the Old Testament is nothing but a type and shadow of something in the New? Okay. Let me take you. It's going to get deep for a minute. The tabernacle is where God dwelled. How many know that God still dwells in a tabernacle in 2020? Your body is the temple. Your body is the tabernacle where God dwells. And the same way you anoint it in the Old Testament, the place God dwells, you still anoint in the New Testament the same place God dwells. God help me. Let's gotta see if y'all can handle this. So the tabernacle was a representation of the Old Testament of your body because that's where God dwelt. There's levels to the oil. I told you, somebody said there's levels to the anointing. The oil being put on it is a representation of the Holy Spirit coming on our lives. And so understanding now you have an anointing on you that does not always need somebody to put some oil on you. It has to come from the Holy Spirit. But I need you to catch something that I didn't have planned to talk about. But then there's also the anointing oil that grandmama put on your head. God, this is nowhere in my notes right now. I need you to catch because there's levels to the anointing. Because how many of you know that you don't have to have anointing oil? But how many know God still honors anointing oil? Okay, this is free this morning. This is free. This is, watch this right here. Because here's what I want you to catch. He told him, he said, Moses, I need you to make a replica of heaven on earth. Build that tabernacle, take the anointing oil, and anoint my entire tabernacle. And whenever the oil touches the utensils, the doors, whatever you touch, it becomes holy. God, I hope you can get this with me. He said, Moses, here's why you're building it. It's because I need a replica that's in heaven on earth. If I had time to teach you about heaven, earth is nothing but a mini heaven. That's all earth is when you study the Bible. Earth is a mini heaven. That's all it is. And okay, some of y'all looking at me funny. Give me Hebrews. Give me Hebrews 9. Give me Hebrews 9. I was going to watch this. Hebrews 9:23. Thank you. Watch what it says. Let me prove to you. This is talking about what Moses was doing. Just because some of y'all looking at me funny like he was building a replica of heaven on earth. Therefore, it was necessary, watch this, that the copies of things in heaven should be purified with these. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. God help me. It's explaining here what Moses was doing over here we're reading Exodus. He says, it was necessary that the copy, because God said, build me a copy on earth of what I have in heaven. God help me, I could preach this all day right here. He says, but watch this. He says, and the oil is going to purify it because the things in heaven are already holy unto God. God help me. Verse 25, Holy Spirit, 24. Holy Spirit, help me right here. Verse 24. verse 24, please. For Christ has not, thank you. For Christ has not entered the holy place made with hands, but which are copies. Watch what he says. Which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself. Listen to me. He's explaining what Moses was doing, letting you know that when God told Moses to build a tabernacle, he told him, listen, build it exactly to what heaven does, what heaven is. He says, here's what how important the oil is. Because right now the church has got away from oil. Come on, somebody. We forgot God still honors oil. Yes, there's levels to the anointing. There's an anointing on you, but stay with me. Let me teach you about oil. We may raise up right here. Because here's what happened. He says, and when the oil touches it, watch how powerful the anointing oil is. Because I don't know if you guys ever had oil on your life. I had grandmama and them, mom and them. Them jokers would be pouring oil on a brother. Go to school, head smelling all sweet. Come on, forehead shiny. Just oiling folk up. And how many know that's what I be doing to my children? Come on, somebody. So my oldest daughter, Paige, she's smart. She's like, Dad, anoint me right here. Put it right here, you know. And so here's what I need you to catch. Hear this. Why did God need oil on the temple? What's the purpose of anointing oil? I'm going to teach you something. I don't know if you ever heard it. God said, listen, build me a replica. It's going to look the same. But when the oil hits it, it's going to make it holy. Okay, y'all missed it. How does the oil make it holy? Because when the Holy Spirit sees the oil, watch this, the Holy Spirit steps in that marked place. Y'all still missed it. He said, the one in heaven is holy. Now, how do I get earth and heaven to align is when I put the oil there, it causes the church to now be holy like heaven. So it's not about it being holy. It's about it causing earth and heaven to be in agreement. God, help me. Okay, I didn't know if that was too deep for you a few minutes ago. Because here it is. It wasn't about making it holy. It just happens that that one was holy in heaven. And the only way to get heaven and earth to align in that situation, God says, put the oil on it, and the Holy Spirit would jump in and do a work where there's faith for it to happen. And then now when the oil hits, it causes those two to be in agreement with each other. God, I feel like teaching this right now. See, because what happens, watch this church. The oil, watch this. Let me take you here. Because you need to catch this, because too many people need to understand God still honors oil. God, I think it was during our fast that I anointed people every Friday night. And what you need to understand is that the oil, the Holy Spirit will move on the oil and God still honors it. Watch this right here. Give me 1 Samuel 16 and 1. Give me 1 Samuel 16 and 1. I want you to catch this. It's about aligning and making earth and heaven into agreement. That's what anointing oil is for. I want you to catch it right now. This is how they use it in the Old Testament. Not just to make it holy and to consecrate it, but it was to cause whatever it is in heaven, it to line up in earth to look like it is in heaven. That's one of the supernatural things that God does. So when the oil hit the tabernacle, it became holy and heaven and earth aligned up because that was the purpose in that moment. Stay with me. Watch this right here. Now the Lord says to Samuel, watch this. How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I've rejected him from reigning over Israel? Watch what he says. Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite. So I want you to see this. He tells him in verse 1, he literally tells him, fill the horn with oil, right? We saw this with David earlier. Now we're looking at Saul. And he says, fill the horn with oil, verse 13. So now he has this horn with oil, verse 13. Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of the brothers. And watch this. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Stay with me. I need you to catch the same thing. I'm trying to build a foundation here. Is that, watch this here. Wherever the oil hit, the Spirit moved upon it. Okay, give me verse 1 again. Y'all missed it. It's slow and go right now. Give me verse 1. Go back to verse 1. The Lord said to Samuel, how will you mourn for Saul, seeing I've rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil. Oh, this is David. Go, and I'm sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I provided myself a king. So this is one we looked at earlier. He provided himself a king. And you notice, as we said, he had the work of the king. He's already been there. But now when the oil hit him, watch what happens. Then the Spirit came on him. And now what happened is, in heaven, he already had power. When heaven sees him, he's already in his anointing. And the Spirit moves upon him. and now heaven and earth is in full alignment. Stay with me, stay with me. Okay, let me give you another. I'm going to prove this thing until you shout. Watch this right here. I'm going to work until you get it. I got to see this here. Give me 1 Samuel 10 and 1. 1 Samuel 10 and 1. This is the one with Saul right here. You're going to get it in both of them. He says this about Saul. Then Samuel took a flask of oil. Watch what he says here. And poured it on Saul's head and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord has anointed you commander over his inheritance? Here's what he's saying. Church, don't miss this. He says he had oil, and he says, the only reason I'm getting ready to put this oil on you is because, watch what he says here, because the Lord has anointed you commander. He says, the only reason I'm getting ready to put the oil on you is because God has already in heaven anointed you to be something. Because how many know in heaven we're already healed? In heaven we're already blessed. In heaven we're already delivered. Stay with me. He didn't put the oil on him to make him holy. Watch what he did. He put the oil on him because he was already something to God. Go to verse 10, or verse 6, verse 6, go to verse 6. And in verse 6, and then when the oil hit him, watch this, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you. God help me. And so now, wherever the oil hits, the Spirit of the Lord comes upon it, and it causes it to be in earth what it is in heaven. God help me. Okay, y'all not getting it yet. It's not that he's just making him holy. It's causing heaven and earth to be in total agreement. Okay, we're going to get it one more. Let me push it till you get it right now. I got to break through the barriers right now. Because when you see the oil, God still honors the oil, that the anointing oil. Well, watch this right here. Luke 4:18. Let's see the scripture here. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Watch what he says. He says, the Holy Spirit has come upon me. Watch this. Because he's anointed me. Wherever that oil was, the Holy Spirit would gravitate to. Because there's in heaven, that's why God says, thy will be done on earth. That means that everything in heaven, it's already done. Now, God's job is to try to get heaven to earth and heaven to be in agreement with each other. That's why I said, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And this is why grandmama would pour oil on you, not to make you holy, but to get your life to be in alignment with heaven. Because when the Holy Spirit sees the oil, the Holy Spirit gravitates to. And where grandmama's faith is, the Holy Spirit said, I'm going to use that faith and align heaven and earth together. God, help me right here. Let me push one more scripture until y'all get this thing. James 5, y'all know this right here. Give me James 5, 13, 14, 15, somewhere in there. James 5, watch what it says. If any among you sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him and anoint him with. Oh, y'all can read. Watch this. Anoint him with. Watch what he says here. Catch this right now. There's levels to the anointing. He wasn't making him holy. He was saying, when you're sick, put the oil on him. God, help me. He says, because now when they pray, watch the next verse right here, verse 15. He says right here, verse 15, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. Not the oil, but the faith connected to the oil. Okay. See, let me get you to get it. Let me get you to get it in case you didn't miss it. You missed it. In heaven, it was holy. He said, Moses, when you touch it, your faith, you're putting oil on it because you have faith that when you touch it, it's going to be holy. And when the oil hits it, the Holy Spirit sees your faith, and whatever your faith is for the oil, it lines it up with heaven. He said, David, you're already king. He says, in heaven, it's already king. I just need you to be king on earth. He said, I need you to pour the oil on him, and when the oil hits him, prophet, the Holy Spirit's going to see your faith that he is what God said he is, and he's going to make heaven and earth line up, and he's a king in heaven. Now he'll be a king on earth. He said, I need Saul to be my king. He says, here's what I want you to do. I need you to see that Saul, I've chosen as a king right now. He says, he's a king in heaven. Put the oil on him, and when the oil comes on him, the Spirit will come on him, and Saul will be a king as well in earth as he is in heaven. God help me. And now we see that the Bible says in James 5 right here, he says, when someone is sick, call for the elders of the church. He says, and let them put the oil on them. And when they put the oil on them, the elders have faith enough that no matter if it's cancer, no matter if they're on life support, he says, call for the elders because they're spiritually mature, not because they're holy and greater. He says, and when the elders put the oil on them, the elders have faith that the Holy Spirit will come in and make them heal because they're healed in heaven. And I need heaven and earth to be in agreement. And that's why you put the oil on them, is because you need earth and heaven to align. And it's not the oil, it's the faith in the oil. See, that's why there's still power to the oil. Come on, somebody. See, we never understood. We thought they were making us holy. No, they were aligning your life with heaven and earth. Because they used to, I remember we had family members. My aunt would anoint her kids. She's like, you ain't smoking weed no more. Just pour oil all over them. I was like, what in the world? What she was saying was, she said, in heaven, you're not a weed head. In heaven, you're a child of God. And the Holy Spirit will see her faith and jump on that boy and begin to break stuff in his life. And it will cause him to be like it is in heaven. And I came to tell some mamas and daddies, if your children are not lining up with heaven, get the oil out and begin to anoint your children with oil. And watch God align heaven and earth in agreement when he meets your faith right where it's at. I wish I had some old school saints that still believe in the power of the anointing oil. I wish we could get out of this temporary new age stuff. I need some oil laying people that have faith that when the oil hits, heaven will begin to move and line something up. Somebody shout hallelujah. Watch this right here. Go get my anointing oil. Go that way. Get my anointing oil off my desk. I need you to understand something. Sometimes you got to anoint stuff and it's not the oil, it's your faith in it. Put my scripture back up. Verse 15. Put it back up. He says, it's the faith that saves them, not the oil. That's what he says. Watch what he says. He says, and the prayer of faith, because the Holy Spirit sees the faith. You can put oil on anything, but if there's no faith, there's no movement. God help me. And this is what we got to understand. You don't put oil on them, talking about you just greasy. No, you're believing that when I touch this oil on you, whatever it touches, God is going to move. The Holy Spirit's going to move. You better anoint your bank account today. You better anoint and say, bank account, align with heaven. Earth and heaven align over my money. I dare you to anoint your bank account. I dare you to anoint your mind. I dare you to anoint your house and say, this house will have peace. This house will have joy. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. If your children ain't serving God, call them over for dinner tonight and oil them all up and say, heaven, align my children with earth and watch the Holy Spirit jump on them and move on them until they begin to pray in tongues, until they begin to lift up the name of Jesus, because I know that God knows that when the oil hits and he sees your faith, it is going to change your destiny. Somebody shout hallelujah. Just sit it right there. See, God, this is not even my points right now. I'm gonna have to get to my points next week. I'm done. He told Moses, see, we always think the oil is to make you holy. It's not to make you holy. In this case, it was to make it holy, because the temple in heaven was holy. So he needed to make the temple on earth holy. But the oil is not to make you holy. In that situation, play with me. Come on, feel me in the spirit. You gotta understand, the whole oil was just to make it agree with heaven, not to make you holy. That's why you go in hospitals. You take communion. Because the Holy Spirit meets your faith. Ain't the bread and the blood. It's your faith. Jesus, often as you do this in remembrance of me. And when you get that oil out, and open it up for me. Just stay there and open it up. Come on, flow with me right now. You guys got to flow with me. Know what I need. He says, listen, when you get that oil out, sit it up there once you get it. Just sit it up there. He said, and that oil touches something. That oil is nothing until it sees your faith behind it.